Good morning. Are angels worshiping him right now? Are we worshiping him right now? Are we then worshiping alongside angels? Yeah. Here and forevermore. I mean, eternity has already started for us who believe. We've already been given eternal life. It's just going to continue on through this one into the next one. And it's going to be a beautiful thing. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here this morning, whether in person or else online. May we all feel your presence, Lord, as we worship you and glorify you. And let us hear from him through his word.
Our first readings are three readings from the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, 23, 27, 19, and 17, 22. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. The second reading is from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verses 1 and 6 through 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending sheep," Samuel said. "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 14 through 23. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me. Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into the heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids want to head out for kids' church at this time? Feel free. All right, Lord, we thank you for your word, and may it just enlighten us today. May it speak to our spirits and to our hearts. Amen. All right, the heart. the core of our being, the center of who we are, is what we're talking about, our spiritual heart. Not the physical heart, which is amazing in itself, the number of times that it beats throughout your life and the way it can change pace and keep you alive or circulating, you know, nutrients and blood and all kinds of things through your body. It's just incredible. It's a beautiful design. But, you know, God's design, of course, is going to be beautiful. But our spiritual heart, if you dissect a person, you'll find the physical heart. You know, it's about fist size and it's right about centered in your chest there. But you're not going to find the spiritual heart. Where is it? Well, it resides within us. And we wouldn't find it anatomically. You know, you might say, oh, it's part of your brain. Or maybe, well, it doesn't include our thoughts and, you know, the things that come out of us. So if we could say that as well. But again, it's sort of the core of your being, the center of you. We are told to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. First on the list was heart. And when they wrote it that way, it was for emphasis, that was the most important, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. We are to seek the Lord with our whole heart, right? As you seek me, you will find me. Indeed, there's over 800 mentions of the heart in the Bible. It's a big thing in there. And of those 800, the majority by far are about your spiritual heart, the core of your being. Something that we have to take care of. Indeed, the reading from Proverbs today said, above all else, guard your heart to take care of it. Because it's subject to attack, the core of your being, it's subject to attack. The enemy is, of course, going to try to mislead us, going to take us down wrong paths. We have to guard against that. We have to guard our heart so that good comes out of it and not evil, like Jesus talked about in the gospel. And watch out what you put into it. Because as the old saying goes, you are what you eat. Now, that's true physically, obviously. I enjoyed some nice fresh deer steaks the other night, and now those pieces are going throughout me. Those atoms are going on to, hey, need some replacement here in the pancreas. Oh, we need a little bit of carbon in the little toe. We need some phosphorus up in the brain. And it's all being distributed by some miraculous process. Eating a deer steak, and then all of a sudden you're regenerating all these cells and things like that. I mean, that's God, and that is beautiful. So we are what we eat, but that's also true spiritually. What we take into our body will form who we are. So we have to be careful what we watch, what we read, what we take in. Kids these days, one of my main concerns is, who knows what they're watching all day on those little cell phones? I mean, it's a lot of it's not good. They're watching these things that are not building them up, that are not good for their heart. Maybe we should just give them all one of my phones and remove the temptation, right? You know, it's impossible to watch something on that. Okay. Next time my kids misbehave, I'll just threaten, hey, I'm going to swap phones with you. Maybe they'll get their attention. Huh? But no, we are what we take into our body. If you're taking this in, you're taking in God's word, yeah. That's going to build you up. It's going to equip you. It's going to inform you, and it's going to show you how much you're loved and equip you to love others as well. So guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. It's the source. Everything flows from it. It's the source. What things flow out of us? Well, we'll wait till the gospel and we'll look at that. But to guard your heart, to keep it pure, and as Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, right? So again, the heart, so important to God, so important. These proverbs are great. That was just one little proverb there. The next one as well. And if when you read through the proverbs, I would encourage you just maybe one a day when you get from that section of proverbs. Because if you just read through 20 of them, blah, 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 but there's so much depth to them. The next one, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. Water reflecting the face. Back in the time of Solomon writing these proverbs, the mirrors weren't common or good quality mirrors for sure, but they could see themselves in the reflection in the water, going to a pond or something like that. And if you have calm water, it can reflect very accurately. If there's any turbulence, it's going to cause distortion there. It's going to cause disruption. I suppose similar with our heart, right? If there's turbulence within us, it's going to affect our heart. Because we are interconnected. We are physical, we are mental, we are emotional and spiritual, and all are interwoven. If you have an injury or something happens to one of them, say physical, does it affect you mentally, spiritually, emotionally as well? Yes. If something happens to you spiritually, will it affect you emotionally? Yeah. Mentally? Yeah. Can it affect you physically? Absolutely. We are all these things together. So as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. Our heart is shown in our life. If we are out there loving others, doing good for others, serving others, having compassion on others like Jesus, it'll show what's in our heart. Other people, you look at their actions and you know what's in their heart too. It's not always a positive thing. You know, may we be ruled by a positive heart that just brings Christ out in us to serve and love others. But yeah, the fruits, the actions, the motivations, all these things are from the heart. The next proverb, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. A cheerful heart is good medicine. It's going to determine our attitude and our emotions. When you think of a cheerful heart, just think about the last time you saw the whole Sunday school up in front singing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And they're just smiling and singing and everything like that. Is that a cheerful heart? Does that give you a cheerful heart? Of course it does. Next time you're feeling down, just pull up, go on YouTube, pick up a movie of little kids singing that or something like that. It's going to bring joy to your heart. And that's what God would have us. He'd have a joyful heart, right? A cheerful heart is good medicine. It's going to affect your attitude. It's going to affect your emotions. It's going to affect your day, obviously. If something good happens, you're going, yes. And the reverse, too. If something bad happens, we can quickly die. Your attitude and your emotions, you know, very quickly. And it takes a while to build it back up. Alrighty. But a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So, of course, we'd rather have a joyful heart, a cheerful heart, than a crushed spirit. That cheerful heart is also mentioned, to give with a cheerful heart, right? When you make your decision on how much to give every Sunday, or maybe not just on Sundays, but you just decide in your heart how much to give. For the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Let that guide you, let that govern you, and you get joy in giving as well. When I write out that check every month and I'm praying over it and I'm just asking God to go and use it to make a difference in this world to His glory. And He does. When we give, He's going to, you know, think of our missions where we're sending money over to India and things like that, equipping people there, where we got the Operation Christmas Child, we're giving to people around the world. It just has far-reaching effects. So give cheerfully, give joyfully, and give to God because we know He's going to use it for the right thing. When you write out your check to the government, do you think it's going to all go to good? Okay, but when you write out your check to God, is it going to go to good? Yeah. Amen, it is, right? So here's something that we can cheerfully give, something that we can joyfully give, knowing that it's going to make a positive difference in this world. All right. And the joy is, like I said, resides within people. There's those people who bring joy to your lives. You see them and you just start to smile. Your heart leaps, and you're just going, yes. You see that person just walking towards you or coming down the street. This is going to be good. Because some people just have that joy. Unfortunately, there's other people who suck the life right out of you, too. Right? But we're going to concentrate on the positive. We're going to concentrate on the joy is what we're going to do. But those people that have that joy, is there a good chance that they're Christians? Overwhelmingly a good chance, okay. And where's that joy coming from? Well, it's the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord, when that is in us and it governs what we do and we see it manifested in so many different ways. So having that cheerful heart, having that good heart is important because indeed the Lord looks on the heart. And that's what we heard in 1 Samuel today. We have Samuel the prophet being sent to Bethlehem to anoint a king. That's sort of interesting, a king coming from Bethlehem. Wow, that sounds familiar, doesn't it, right? That's what's going to happen years later, obviously, with Jesus, but here's a little foreshadowing, if you will. So Samuel sent on a mission by God to go to Jesse, who has 8 sons. When he gets there, they start to parade the sons in front of him. He sees the first one coming. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. He says, this has got to be the one. He's looking at him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. All right. It's not the kind of rejected where you're being rejected by God. I mean, he just rejected as king, okay, not the person. But apparently, this guy was tall, strong, good-looking, and sort of had it all together, and he's thinking, this has got to be it, because he's judging by outward appearances. And that still happens today, too. You see, when someone party's trying to come up with a political candidate, do they try to pick someone that's typically a little taller or something like that, or muscular, that shows power or whatever? Yeah, but what's more important? The heart, right? Can't go by outward appearances. Can't judge that book by its cover. Alrighty. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Outward appearances can be deceiving. Absolutely. But the heart is of greater importance than any other thing because it's who you are. It's your motives. It's what's driving you. It's your core again, your being. So God looks at that, and his ways are higher, his ways are better, and if he considers it more important, well, absolutely, we should as well. All right, then Jesse called Abinadab, had him pass in front of Samuel. Samuel said, nope, nor has the Lord chosen this one. So he had seven of them prayed past, seven sons. And not any of these. Is there one more? Well, you know, there's little David, but he's out watching the sheep, you know. Well, I'll bring him. And they did. So he sent for him. Oh, it's just, they're still the youngest, Jesse answered. He's attending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. We're going to stand until he gets here. That says something. It says, bring him quickly, I suppose, but the importance of it too. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health, had a fine appearance, hands and features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. God saw his heart. And as you read through Psalms, many of which were written by David, do you see his heart for the Lord? Absolutely. Do you see his trust in the Lord? Yes. Do you see his devotion to the Lord? 100%. God saw that as a boy. He just knew that even as a youngster, that he had a heart for him, that he was going to follow him, that he's going to seek him. Now, of course, he screws up too. You know, we all do. He's human. But David really had a heart for the Lord. And we can learn a lot from him and his dependence and his trust in God. So they anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and you know, the seven older brothers looking at that, they probably, who knows. But he had the heart for God. So how do we discern the heart? God can see the heart. But again, we can't see it directly. And how can we discern what kind of heart a person has? I suppose we'd have to go by the outward fruits. If someone's out there doing good for God, probably got a good heart, their actions, what they say, how they conduct themselves, these are all going to show us the kind of a heart a person has. Now, again, it can be deceptive. Someone can put on a very good act and look like they have a good heart, but doing it from the wrong motivations. But sometimes, can you just sort of sense it? You meet someone and you just know that they have a good heart. You just feel it. Yeah. There's something about the Spirit, meets the Spirit. And we can tell many times. But again, we're mostly limited to what comes out of the person. And that's what Jesus talked about in the gospel today. What comes out. So again, Jesus called the crowd to him. You know, come on over, folks, you got something to say, right? He said, listen to me, everyone, and understand. Well, if Jesus said listen and understand, I think we should. You know, even years later, listen to what he has to say and understand it. Because this is important. He's setting them up. He's saying, the following is important, but it's very short. Listen and understand. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. Okay, he just got done hitting up the Pharisees for being, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Again, the heart. And he's just sort of following up on that. With that one sentence there. And the disciples, once again, don't quite get it. You know, I mean, hey, it's me many times too. I'll admit it. So they come up to him after the crowd had left and says, and asked him about the parable. His response, are you so dull? He asked. Okay, yeah. God's patience is endless. Okay, but this one I just sort of find humorous. He's dealing with humans. He's dealing with humans. And yeah, we don't always get it, God, but hey, we're trying. We're trying. Okay. Nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them. Well, we have to watch what we eat, right? But here he's talking about foods, right? For it doesn't go into their heart what you eat, but it goes through your body, your digestive system, and all through the excretory system, okay? That's what he says. It goes into their stomach and all the body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean, which is great, all right? Because back then they couldn't eat bacon. All right. But, yeah, a gift from God for sure, right? Okay, back to the serious. This is the gospel, right? He went on. What comes out of a person is what defiles them. Because what comes out shows what's inside. I think a lot of medical tests are probably that way, too. They can look at what's inside a person. They can take samples of urine. They can take samples of blood. And when that comes out, it shows what's inside, right? They can diagnose things. So it's true in that way as well. But what we see come out of a person, that tells us what's on the inside. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, again, their center, the core of their being, that evil thoughts come. But now remember, good thoughts can come from there too, and let that define us, right? But he goes into a comprehensive list here. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, ran out of fingers, arrogance, and folly. Okay, 12 things. And that covers a lot of ground. Boy, those things are going to rise up within us and try to tempt us, but we just say no thanks. Because we're following God. We've had a change of heart, right? I like that. Yeah. When you accept Jesus in your life, you receive what he offers us. You have a change of heart. You are that new creation, that new person in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? I'm a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. So we have a change of heart. We have a new heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, right? Like David said, after he realized the extent of his sin. And when we repent, let us be the same. Lord, I realize I've screwed up, but create in me a clean heart. Give me that chance to serve you again. And he will. God is good about that. He will honor that request. Where your heart is, there's your where your treasure is, there's your heart also, Jesus also said. I mean, there's many, many things that tell us about the importance of the heart and what's inside us. And how it defines us. But let us have a heart for God, like David. Let us seek him with our whole heart. Let us, love him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And let those positive things come out of us, and let them define us as we go out and represent Christ to this world. Amen.